a nice spring morning here in Bakersfield, California, Thursday. I think it's like April 29th or something like that. The weasel joined me this morning. She actually got out. Went out a little later. She got up a little earlier. Again, some great sleep. I think my post-Pfizer insomnia has gone, which I'm very, very happy. Interesting listening to Let's Run podcast talking about the whole 10 Men Elite controversy. You know, I started a running group in Bakersfield back in 2009, the Bakersfield Distance Project. Went great for 7 or 8 years and then just kind of naturally fell apart. But one of the things that helped it along was other people started groups and actually were trying to like steal my athletes. It was pretty confrontational for a while, not with me, but my athletes defending us and all that stuff. But you know, you get humans in groups, it always messes things up. So the 10 Men Elite, you know, they're out of Boulder, Drew Hunter, group of people, you know, like, I really like how Americans are finally training together, like so many, you know, the East Africans have been doing for years. And so 10 Men Elite had a really big social media presence, and they got the coach to fly over there 5 or 6 years ago, Schwartz guy, and kind of named after him. But then he moved to Boulder, but then they just took a vote, not anonymously, and decided to fire him via public media, social media. And then it's been all over the Let's Run boards. And it just goes, you know, he should have had a contract. It's what I brought it up is just as interesting is that his wife is defending him, saying that she didn't like a lot. They didn't like a lot of the social media stuff where they're kind of a little bit too much inappropriate with mature content, especially since they have such a huge high school following. And then 10 Men Elite kind of put out a bland kind of statement that they're supporting him and hope to yada, yada, yada. But then what I thought was really funny is Drew Hunter, who's like their top guy on the team, he's 24 years old and his mom was defending him, which is kind of funny to think about. So that was kind of the whole thing on that. And definitely not something you want to have happen in Olympic year on the build up to the Olympic trials. Saw this article on Podium Runner about training your gut and talking about endurance sports. Definitely once you go past like a half marathon, even a half marathon perhaps, but you got to start taking in some calories, especially if you're going hard and fast, because you know, we have two fuel systems. We have a fat fuel burning system, which, you know, we got plenty of that. Got a trash truck going by here. Sorry about that. So you got the fat burning, you know, and even the thinnest guy has plenty of fuel to go quite some time, as long as you stay kind of in that aerobic zone and you can burn fat, because, you know, hence burning, you got to have oxygen to burn. Now, when you go a little bit harder, then you've got to use your glycogen and sugar stores, and you can only carry so much. And that was why I used to talk about the, you know, hitting the wall at 20 miles. It was more about 2 hours of glycogen. You know, I'm kind of messed up the science a little bit, but basically you get the point. Two fueling systems. And so if you're going to go fast and hard, you've got to be able to eat on the run and fuel yourself. Now, research has shown that, you know, athletes can only take in maybe 60 grams of glucose an hour, and then they start having issues. And some athletes, you know, they can take up to 90, especially if they train their guts. But a lot of athletes end up having issues around 40 or 50 grams. And, you know, you saw that, especially at Vegas this week, with the heat and stuff, that affects your digestion and taking in calories even more than usual, because you're just taxing your body and stressing it. You know, and like we said, we were on Clubhouse talking to you, the jester at the race, and Yolanda came over because she'd been having some stomach issues, and then she just got sick, kind of a Linda Blair moment there right by us. That was a perfect example of she was trying to take in fuel, and probably since she was going so slow, she probably didn't really need to. And that really is the issue. In marathoning, yeah, you do need to take in some because you're going at a harder pace and you got to figure out how to use what you know, fueling while you're going along. But in ultras, a lot of it just comes down to pacing properly. And so many people just go out too hard, their stomach shut down, and then they try and throw calories in and it just causes all kinds of issues. So in training, you need to learn to be a better fat burner and learn how to pace better so you don't blow through all your glycogen. So you can take in maybe 30, 40 grams of glucose and then be able to just keep that and sustain it instead of trying to shovel in more and more. So this article said that if you throw in fructose with the glucose, that seems to help because they go through the intestine barriers in different ways. So throw some fructose into your mix of glucose, you know, and try and up how many grams you can take in, hopefully 60, maybe you can move up to 90, you know, and of course this all takes, you know, as it always says, practice and working at it and finding out what works for you and how much you can take. And then of course you've got to take in, you know, hands and weather conditions. Like here in Bakersfield, it's going to be in the 90s today. And so you're going to back off on the pace and back off on the eating, especially when it's hot. And you'd see that in multi-day races, or like in the 24-hour race, you know, when nighttime comes, that might be a better time to eat than when it's hot, because who wants to eat a big hot meal? I mean, not hot meal, eat a meal when you're feeling terrible. One takeaway I really liked from this was that, yeah, you can train yourself to be better at taking in fuel and not getting sick and having issues. But it also says that you should periodize it, just like everything else in your training. You know, have times when, you know, you're not doing it, but then use it in training. Especially as you get closer to an event, you should, you know, start trying to increase how much fuel you can take in and still compete. And so I like that. And you don't have to do a ton of it. A little goes a long way, and then you will have better performances in races, because one, you won't bonk, but two, you won't get sick. So if you're having problems with your gut, perhaps change what you're doing, especially if you're listening to a lot of podcast videos or articles. They're telling you to, you know, eat, you know, 200 or 300 calories an hour. And of course, if you look at who's advertising on their websites and on their podcasts, it is, you know, sports product type of stuff. So look at that and see what you're doing, and then train appropriately. And like I said, it takes, you know, maybe a week or two, and you can train your gut from going maybe to 60 to 90. And some people have found results where they can get all the way up to 120. But, you know, you're really going hard if you're having to take in that much fueling, and probably, especially in ultras, you're probably going too hard that you're going to blow up sometime later. And I've had many athletes I've worked with who have stomach issues. Had one woman who always got kind of ill at 70, 80 miles, and then she just would quit eating completely. And then, you know what? She could keep going pretty good without any fueling, because, you know, you're just not going that fast relative to, you know, your fueling sources in ultras. Now, of course, marathons, it's a little trickier, but I think overall in ultras, the whole eating part is way overblown and way overcomplicated. And that's why I think, you know, just gotta keep it simple and don't add things unless you have to. You know, try a race just like not eating anything really, just hydrating. And hydrating too means staying away from these sugary sports drinks, because that's the culprit. You're putting in that fluid. And granted, when you're going really fast, you want a sports drink or a gel or a goo, because you're on the run and it's an instant hit. And it definitely, when it works, it works. But when it doesn't work, it doesn't work. This guy's yard and flowers are so nice. So that's the end of today's being boring. Thank you guys for all the comments, links, likes. And as always, stay healthy, be boring, and please subscribe.